Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 2nd, 2013. Wow, we're already in July. What happened, Jim and Jennifer? How did we get here so fast?
Oh, it's been a blur.
Yeah. But there's something that's exciting that's coming to our area this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We talked about it a bit yesterday. It's called Audio Feed Music Fest, and you can find out all about it at audiofeedfestival.com. audiofeedfestival.com. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see a picture of Jim and Jennifer here in the studio, and I've asked them to stay around so we could tape today's program, so this way we can keep them on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And there was a lot to their story, their testimony of coming to Christ, how God used Cornerstone Festival that went on for, I think, about 29 years, and part of the reason Audio Feed is coming to our area is because Jim caught the vision, and along with prayer and other people, they said, hey, let's bring this to the greater Champaign-Urbana area. So maybe we can talk a little more about that. And you touched on having 8 children, but 5 of them came from Ethiopia, and you fell in love with them or got to know them and said, Lord, I think we can raise these children in your name, and I want to know a little about that and your travels to Ethiopia and other parts of the world. So thank you, listener, for tuning in. This broadcast, like I mentioned, is archived, and we'll begin again with some of your testimony, Jenny, Jennifer, and you have some special verses you wanted to read.
Right. Well, a real important verse to us is Colossians 3, and actually the intro to that chapter, verses 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And so we kind of left off yesterday with talking some about how we got into our adoptions. And it was more than just the adoptions. It was the Lord really shaking up our whole lives and getting us to set our minds on him as our whole life. Because before that, we knew him. We had a heart for him. But we had not surrendered our entire lives to him for his service. And so I talked some about some failed adoptions that we had had. And while that looks like surrender, it really hadn't been in my heart yet. It was really me trying to do something that I had a heart for, which was a good thing, that I needed to mature through. So we ended up, we had 2 little boys already, and then to our surprise, we had another little one, and it was a little girl. And so we kind of put that whole adoption thought on the back burner, and Jim's career got very busy, and I was teaching the kids at home, and we kind of got to a point where the kids started to get a little older, and we realized, this is getting sort of easy. You know, we had started to have more time for each other, and we have always been best friends and really enjoy our relationship. So there were some real perks there as the kids got older. But then the Lord started to kind of shake us up a little bit as we started to look around us and recognize that there were many children without families. And again, the Lord's call throughout Scripture is really clear as you get in there about our responsibility as his body for people who have need. So my sister and her husband, who were instrumental in us meeting, they had adopted 2 from China. And so I even had in my family little ones who had been orphans and now had the beauty of being in a family. So I just started praying about that. But still, Jim was wondering, it seemed like that didn't work for us. We tried it. Didn't seem like it worked. So this is where Cornerstone comes into our transition then toward this adoption road. Because I really started to feel that heavy pull on my heart toward adoption again, and even had found a little picture of a particular little pair of children who we did not know, but who we know needed a home. And so we just started to talk about it. But I've never, you know, I trust Jim completely in that he will hear from the Holy Spirit. So I knew that if the Lord was in this, he would tell him. And it wasn't something I needed to do, but that the Lord would handle it. And so, honey, you want to tell how Cornerstone was instrumental in that?
You know, as you said, the Lord really shook us up. Probably more accurate to say he really shook you up. And, you know, I was slower in coming along with those kind of feelings and that kind of pull. And, you know, ultimately, came, I say reluctantly, but it might be an accurate word to say reluctantly, to say, okay, let's go ahead and adopt one, kind of to pair with our daughter. We'll have two pairs. It will work. I can still see. I can picture and plan for how I could make that work. But you start talking about two, you start talking about more of that. I can't picture how that's going to work. I can't know that I can make that work. And coming from a background of someone who was, you know, you can tick it off the list. Yeah, I was a straight-A student. I was all-conference football, scholarship offers, successful in my career. If I set my mind to it and had a plan and went after it, I pretty much knew I could make things happen. I also knew that for me to get on board with adopting two, to take a bigger step in, I would be moving into that uncharted territory of things that I knew I could not plan for or fully control the outcomes. And I wasn't ready to go there. I just was not ready to go there in terms of just fear and reluctance and ultimately a lack of faith. And it was at Cornerstone Festival where there was a really focus that year in many of the speakers and just in the themes that the band spoke about and everything on the Great Commandment or the Great Commandments, which are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And that's in the Old Testament law. That's in the Psalms. That's in Jesus' teaching. It's in Paul's letters. It's in James. You know, it's not just something Jesus said once. It seems like there was a point there that that God wanted to get across. And he just really spoke to me there on that hill in that natural amphitheater one night.
And this is back in what year?
Oh, gosh, it would have been probably about 2008. And he just made it very clear to me what loving my neighbor as myself would look like and how far I fell and still honestly fall from that. And if you were to get past our Christian perception of the Bible story, the VBS coloring page that goes with that story, to really just listen to the plain English of what that says, I think if any of us says we do that, we're kidding ourselves.
Well, and I think the route you were taken, which might be why you're a good CPA, is thought through, practical, planned, safe, and many of us live in that environment. We want to live in that safe zone with God, not stepping out into like our uncomfort zone where we have to trust and rely and lean in Him. And you're working for Martin Hood, Friese and Associates, and so you're kind of walking the straight line. You're in a good marriage. You have your three children, and you're thinking, yeah, maybe we could handle one. But suddenly you're at this Cornerstone Music Festival, and you're hearing God's voice saying, Jim, I have bigger plans for you and Jennifer, plans that are going to cause you to lean heavily into me, if you will.
That's exactly it. It's, you know, it just was impressed very clearly upon me that what I was expressing in my reluctance to let go of my plans, my reluctance to step outside of what I could control, was just me saying directly to his face, I do not trust you. Mm-hmm. I do not trust you to take care of us. And that's humbling, to say the least. And, you know, in that moment, you know, that doesn't mean for every listener who hears that, you come to that point, so you should adopt. You know, for us at this point, it was very clear to me that that message for where we were at, for what we had been discussing, that he was saying, trust me in this, and exposing, you know, ultimately what was a complete lack of faith. It's very easy. It just became very clear. It's very easy to sit in church and sing I Surrender All or any number of those hymns. But do I really do that? And that was a first step for me that's been life-changing. Part of that was the adoptions, and has expanded into so many ways in our lives since then. And many challenging, many hard at times, but all just incredibly good and rewarding, because he is not safe, but he is good, and he loves us. There's a great passage in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe where the children are speaking to the beavers, and they're frightened because he is a lion. And one of the children asked Mr. Beaver, you know, but is he safe? And Mr. Beaver says, of course he isn't safe, but he's good. Yeah. He's the king.
Now, you mentioned a plurality, the adoptions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So more than one.
Yes. So that's how I find myself then in 2009, a year later, almost to the day, a year later and much paperwork later, in the capital city, Addis Ababa, of Ethiopia. And we were there. I was there with my dad. Some of you know him, Don Carter. He was a police,
the police chief.
That's right.
Oh, shoot. I know him pretty from old Promise Keeper days area prayer breakfast that I coordinated with him and others.
That's right.
Oh.
So I find myself with my dad and our son, Charlie, in Ethiopia. And it was my first travel internationally. And I was completely overwhelmed by the need I saw all around me. Addis Ababa is about the most affluent place in Ethiopia, and yet amongst the millions of people that live in that city, many, many of them were right before my eyes in need in ways that we just hardly ever see here. So I realized at that moment that not only was I there to get our children, but I was there to recognize the emergency that much of the world is in. So on that trip, I picked up 6-year-old, well, she was 5 at the time, Fevin Hope, and our little almost 3-year-old, not Nail, James. And
when you say picked them up, you had processed paperwork and they said, come pick up your children, if you will?
Right. They were already, the adoption was complete in Ethiopia prior to our going. So at that point, it was them handing me a couple of little precious strangers that were my children. And so as I was walking in with Evan and Nati, about 3 older boys, about 10, 11, in that range, came walking out of the orphanage towards me. And the one in the center, I looked at him, and it was just like looking at Zeke or Charlie, my 2 biological sons. There was an instant familiarity that was incredible, because I was there to pick up these little ones that were clinging to my skirts. And I look at this boy, and I'm saying, Lord, what on earth does that mean? So I went about, I was very focused on these little ones, and I talked to this boy and tried to get his name. There was no English, so it was difficult. But I just went on with that trip and certainly was not thinking about another adoption. I was just cluing into this very strange recognition in my spirit. So we brought home our little ones, and transitioned as a family to having 5 children, and that felt huge to me. At the time, I felt, wow, going from 3 to 5, that's big. And they were wonderful, but they were really in need of a mama. And so it was a lot of sitting on the floor and watching over interactions and just that time where you have to be ready every minute to kind of pour yourself out. So that's what I spent, months doing. But during that time, I just can't stop thinking about this one that I met. So I called, and I found out that 2 of the girls I had met there were his sisters. So as soon as I knew that this was a sibling set of 3, I knew that that couldn't be us, because that would mean 8 children, and we certainly never intended
to
go there.
Again, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Right. So we started telling everybody else about these children, because they were wonderful, beautiful children who deserved a home and needed a home. But funny thing is, we talked to wonderful people, and none of them had the yes that it would have taken. So we were about a few months into that, probably about 6 months into that.
6 months into kind of acclimating these 2 new children into your life, and then still feeling this impression, Lord, what is the reason you put that connection with that child in my heart and mind?
Right. And so as we were, it was really at a time when I was even considering what the oldest of the girls, who was part of the sibling set, had poured into the other kids. She was 14 when we went to get her, and she had spent 3 years watching all of the other children leave. So she would have her friends for a while, and then they would go. And yet, through this all, these 3 were there for a really long, extended amount of time. And so I was just overwhelmed thinking of what they endured in that regard. And so one day Jim said to me, you know, we haven't found a family for them because they're ours, right? And I, well, you do understand that would mean we would have 8 children, right? And being the accountant, he already knew that.
Yeah, he's a number cruncher, a bean counter.
Right. So within 6 months, I was back in Ethiopia, this time with my sister, Barbara King, and again, my son, Charlie. And we were back to get those 3 children who just the Lord blessed us so tremendously when it was just, it's just been a precious gift. And sometimes adoption is always hard. I want everybody to understand that because parenting is always hard. But he really gave us a gift in the children that he chose for our family, and we could be more grateful.
And I'm sure there's always that transitional period and just the heartache of their experience and the baggage or the hurt and the heartache that they bring and just the acclimating into this new culture and then into your family and just the natural things that kids at that age, those teenage years that go through when they go to school and peer pressure and trying to raise them. And so I'm sure there's been many challenges, but I guess you probably also, Jim, have seen God provide and orchestrate and sustain you both in your marriage and in your own faith journey to rely on him and to lean into him. So what has been some of those life lessons?
Well, that you really summed it up quite well there. You know, the overriding life lesson is one of reliance and one of transferring that faith from a faith in outcomes to a faith in him and who he is. And that can't be shaken. Is a faith that can't be shaken. I've seen too many people's faith shaken by that faith in outcomes that then don't come to pass the way we think they should. So that's that has absolutely been the overriding lesson for me. But as Jenny said, it's been more about, it seems, more about the joy of what he's provided than it is about any lessons that we've learned.
And I think you referenced it a little earlier in part of your testimony that recognizing the character of God is what you need to lean heavily into, not in necessarily how we pray something up and expect the results to be like this. It's knowing that if his hand is in it, the results will be ultimately the best, even though it might not be what we exactly want or desired at the time or even knew about. It's just like, what are you doing here, God? I don't understand, but I trust in your character.
My 6-year-old would believe that a diet of ice cream and candy is the perfect thing for him. And what would make him the happiest in his life, Jenny and I know better. Yeah. And yet our knowledge compared to God's is more limited than our son's is compared to ours. And yet somehow we think we have all the answers and that our will should be done and he should walk in our ways as opposed to us looking at what's in front of us in his word and trusting him and walking in his ways and just trusting him to uphold his end of the bargain, because he is faithful.
Well, a lot of your learning and growth began at Cornerstone Festival some years ago, and God has used Cornerstone and those concerts to bless you and challenge you in your faith journey, and you have stepped out in faith to bring Audio Feed Music Fest to the greater Champaign-Urbana area. And I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I want to highlight it because we talked about it a little yesterday. But for our listeners, if you go to audiofeedfestival.com, audiofeedfestival.com, you're going to learn about 60-plus bands that are coming July 5th through the 7th to the Champaign County Fairgrounds. A whole montage of variety, various genres of music from acoustics to heavier metal, Christian rock, all desiring to lift up the name of Jesus in their various ways under various styles. So maybe for some of you senior saints, it would be great to get out and see how God is using this youth movement. Of course, some of the band members are a little older, maybe even our age, but it's being held Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday is more of a church service, worship service for a few hours, but the typical day goes from about 10 or 11 with some teaching and some speakers, and the bands go from about noon to maybe 1 or 2 a.m. as long as there'll be people participating and worshiping. You can camp at the Champaign County Fairgrounds or just go in each day. There's a $40 pass for all 3 days if you purchase that in advance at audiofeedfestival.com, or if you just want to go one day, it's $25 at the gate, I think, in advance.
25 for a single day, 50 for the full day, for the both days.
And that's at the gate, $40 if you purchase in advance at audiofeedfestival.com. So what are you hoping gets accomplished so maybe our listeners can be praying up the festival and then praying up what happens during these next 3 days beginning on Friday?
We just want His will to be done, and we're very conscious that our success track and our image of what success might be isn't necessarily His. So we don't want to place those constraints on Him. I think so often in putting our highest goals out there and really demanding A, B, and C from Him, all that does is limit Him, because He's bigger than that, and our goal for this is that He would be glorified and honored, and I think it's enough to turn Him loose with that.
Jennifer, will all the kids be coming to this audio festival?
Yes, they will. That's actually a good point, because a lot of families are wondering if this has anything for their kids, and there actually will be some kid activities being organized, you know, the Vacation Bible School style activities from about 10 to 3, we're thinking. And you might want to go to the website to double check that time, but that is both on Friday and Saturday. So feel free to bring out the family. Oh, and children 11 and under are free.
11 and under free. The event is Audio Feed Music Fest, coming to the Champaign County Fairgrounds July 5th through the 7th. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can find out all about it at audiofeedfestival.com. audiofeedfestival.com for all ages. So let your youth groups know about it. Let your small groups know about it. Send over those senior saints so they can see what the youth of America, how they're worshiping Jesus in unique ways and styles, maybe very different from yours, but you can feel the presence of the Lord as He's welcomed by these 60-plus bands this weekend at the Champaign County Fairgrounds. Again, find out more at audiofeedfestival.com. Well, thank you, Jim and Jennifer, for being available for the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Okay, thanks for having us, Mark.
Both these interviews are archived at greatnewsradio.org. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.